গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরাবন জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরাবন চর, যমুনা তীরাবন চর, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহার, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরাবন চর, যমুনা তীরাবন চর, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, গোপীজন বালব গিরিবর ধারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরাবন চর, Jamunati Rabanachaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, text number 33. Chapter is called The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. Yasmin asankyeya vishesha rama nama Rupakrito Kabibi Kalpiteyam Sankhya Yaya Tatva Disapaniyapate Tasmai Nama Sankhya Nidarshaya Samaya Te iti Yasmin sankyeya vishesha nama Upakrito kavibir kalpiteyam Sankhyayaya tatva jishapaniyate Tasmai namak sankye nidarshanaya te. Te. Yasmin sankye ya visheshanama. Rupakrito kavibir kalpiteyam. Sankhyayaya tatva jishapaniyate Tasmai namat sankhya nidarshanayate yati Yasmin sankhyaya visheshanama Rupakrito kavibir kalpiteyam Sankhyayaya tatva jishapaniyate Tasmai namak sankhya nidarshanaya iti Asana Sankhyaya Vishesha Nama Rupa Krito Kavibi Kalpiteyam Syaya Tatva Jishapaniyate Tasmai Namak Sankhye Nadarshanaye Teyati. Hard one. This is, again, chapter 18, verse 33 of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Residents of Jambudvip offer prayer. Yasmin, in you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sankhyeya innumerable, vishesha, particular, nama, names, rupa, forms, tija, no, I skipped something in. Akrito, possessing bodily features. Kavibi, by great learned persons. Kalpita, imagined. Iyam, this. Sankhya, number. Yaya, by whom. Tattva, of the truth. Jisha, by knowledge. Apaniyate, is extracted. Tasmai, unto him. Nama, respectful obeisances. Sankhya, nidarshanaya, who is the revealer of this numerical knowledge. Te, unto you. Iti, thus. Translation. O my Lord, your name, form, and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist. Yet you yourself, in your incarnation as a learned scholar Kapiladeva, have analyzed this cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form. I offer my respectful obeisances. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research of the so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation until at last the whole universe is dissolved and remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change and destruction, bhutva bhutva praliyate, is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the background of nature. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Maya dakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam hetunani eva konteya. Maya dakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam hetunani konteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Now the material creation is manifest. Eventually it will be annihilated and remain for millions of years in a dormant state. And finally it will again be created. This is the law of nature. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam Bandeham Shiguru Shiyuta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Vrijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakarvitam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasyacha Desatarani Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyabhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Trishe Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Krim Tat Kripa So there are many, many incarnations, as we know. Srimad Bhagavatam covers the main ones, the very big ones, the Dasa Avatar, Varaha, Nrsinga, Kurma, Matsya, Parashuram, Vamandev, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki. So if we can't understand, but we should want to hear about these things. Sometimes we think, well, why don't we just hear about Krishna now? It's Damodar Leela. But this is also Krishna's Leela. The whole material world is Krishna's Leela. You know, he arranges for the souls who don't want to serve him to have a place to play. It's like children, you have to give them playground, you know, so that they can play. They don't want to go to school or something. So we don't want to serve Krishna. Krishna created this nice playground, and we can think that we can enjoy it. But he doesn't abandon, we try to abandon Krishna, but he doesn't abandon us. So he comes himself, he sends his, acharyas, his sons, teachers, to help us get out. And the main thing in this age, of course, is the Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Other processes we do also. We do deity worship. That was the main process in Dwarpa Yuga. It was very, very opulent deity worship. Nobody could do today. No way. Now in the Madhva Sampradaya, something like that. You know, but it's just a few pujaris do it. Not everybody can do. And we do yagyas, but our yagyas are very small. We have the Mahayagya. That's it. So whatever else we're doing, we have meditation, and we have mantra meditation. And because of meditation, yoga is becoming very popular all over the world. And someday people will trace it out that this is all arising out of the Sankirtan movement, the devotees spreading the Harinam Sankirtan, spreading the Bhagavad Gita. So people pick up on different aspects. Like Krishna spoke on everything in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma and Jnana, all these things. not because they're the supreme goal. He alludes to bhakti all through, but at the end he's just very strong, only by bhakti. No other way, even in 11th chapter. Said that. You can't know Krishna. There's some people that, they're practicing yoga, they don't want to know Krishna. If they're serious that they want to know the absolute truth, they can, if they practice properly, they can eventually meet devotees and get connected and learn to chant the holy name and know something about Krishna. So all these, there are these other meditations. You can meditate on the form of the Lord, you can meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. And there's so many different forms of the Lord, with these different incarnations. And they're all Krishna, acting and exhibiting more or less different degrees of his opulences. But without, in this age, without chanting the holy name, without the Nam Sankirtan, the other things are not going to have much effect. Except that if someone is very sincerely trying to practice these things, then he will contact the holy name. He'll meet devotees who are serving Lord Chaitanya's movement to distribute the Prema Sankirtan. The kirtans of, like, when the devotees came from Navadvip to Puri, and Maharaj Pratapa Rudra was seeing them for the first time, he was bewildered, and he said, what kind of sankirtan is this? And I've never seen like this. And in Puri, of course, there's lots of sankirtan. Always was. But then Gopinath Acharya told him, this is Lord Chaitanya's Prema Sankirtan. That's different. It's much different. And people are recognizing more and more. There's so many Sankirtan parties now. In India always was, professionals, but in America now, in Europe, there's professional kirtan areas. They've become very famous, actually. But they're not worshiping Krishna. They're chanting, but they chant also the demigod songs. They chant, so many things, not only Hare Krishna. We have one yoga teacher in Japan, and she's very favorable. She studied in New York, so she met Radhanath Swami there because he preaches at some yoga studio. But she said, I've heard these other kirtans. She said, they're professional. This gun is much better. This is the real thing. I just heard Giriraj Swami in his new book, Dancing White Elephants, the first tour that Prabhupada took devotees around India. So they were invited to a lot of, Bhagavad Gita festivals or, some kind of festival. And Prabhupada, he didn't like having to listen to the Mayavadis. But everybody especially liked the kirtan. So Prabhupada had made it, with some place, he said, we have to be first. Then it can leave. You don't have to listen to the other people. Prabhupada did not tolerate that. In Japan, the Indians had arranged something and for Prabhupada, but there was another Mayavadi speaker. And while he was speaking and Prabhupada was listening, and all of a sudden Prabhupada said, start kirtan. So naturally the devotees made a big kirtan and disrupted the whole thing. It was not so much appreciated by the Hindu organizers. But Prabhupada said, first he was talking all right, but then he started saying, you are Krishna, you are Radha. He said, I couldn't tolerate that. So he said, start kirtan. So they agreed that Prabhupada could be first, but then when it came out, they had someone else first. So Prabhupada left, said to the devotees, let's go. And they came begging Prabhupada, you know, because so many people had come just for the kirtan, for the devotees' kirtan. So I guess Prabhupada, I didn't hear the rest of it. Prabhupada agreed to come back. But so that's the Prema Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya. It's not just some musical entertainment, some professional chanting, you know, out of love for Krishna, love for the spiritual master. So we want to learn properly about the material universe. We learn from Kapila Muni. He's incarnation. Non-devotees count the different elements, and you know they're trying to study the elements, and they have so many different things, so-called science. I remember when I had a class in eighth grade, I don't remember very much, a few things I didn't understand. They were showing, you know, what the elemental chart, well, how many elements are there, 100 and something. And the teacher said, you know, the stupid people in the past, they thought there's only 5 different elements, or 8 or whatever, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because they didn't understand that those were the main divisions. They knew about, you know, they knew the difference between iron and gold, and, you know, they knew much more than they know now. And now they're finding more and more that these ancient people, not only in India, but in many places, because they had much higher technology for carving stone and for, you know, making metal things and tools. And most of it is lost, and nobody knows how they had, you know, what tech, they had such technology. They did so many amazing things. So now we know so much more, they think, but actually they didn't know anything. Because the people before, they also understood that there was a supreme creator behind everything. There was an architect. It's inconceivable how the mind bodies can think, but, you know, say we look at this wood carving, we want to know who carved it. I mean, most, at least I do, you know. Most people, well, who designed this? You know, this, oh no, it just fell out of the sky, you know, right? There was a tsunami, and after all the trees broken, and this was here. Nobody believed that. But they believed that the entire universe, which is so orderly and so complex, you know, even the body of a frog, you know, you can study in class to understand about the inside of our bodies. I was at the doctor yesterday, and he was showing me the bones, you know, the knees, how they work. And I was thinking, you know, Krishna's made this, that everybody, you know, every body, every, not only humans, but all the animals, they have all these joints and bones and muscles and everything working perfectly and reproducing. And they'll say it all happened by chance. If it's by chance, then it, you know, the householders could combine, and then they don't know what kind of child they're going to get. You know, might be human, might be a tomato. You know, if it was by chance, it just doesn't make sense how they can believe that. But they do. I met one, I guess he was a student. I was distributing books, and he was saying, you know, the whole universe is by chance. And I said, what about your wristwatch? You know, you think that just there was a big crash on the highway and two, you know, so many cars and trucks, and afterward all these wristwatches came out or something? Oh, no, no, this required so many engineers and so much intelligence and design. I said, what about the universe and all the planets? Well, that's different. That happened by accident. But the watch is only keeping track of the movements of the planets. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't need a watch if the planets were just moving chaotically. But they move very, you know, scientifically. We can now just on my phone here, I can go and ask for the sunrise 1 week from now in Mayapur, and it can tell me exactly, and I can it will be right. So it's not by chance. It's got to be some design, otherwise how can you predict? So we're up against, you know, madness, foolishness, and they don't want to believe that someone can be so intelligent and so great. But for Krishna to create all these material universes, it's quite insignificant for him. But he doesn't have to, you know, sit down at the control panel and monitor everything, but he has agents that do that. So we're getting this, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the idea. He doesn't give exact details, but, you know, especially chapter 9, you know, right from the start, and he's giving examples how he's inside, but he's outside, and, you know, and trying to compare so we get some idea of who is Krishna. And we get this Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Satcharam. Hey Tunan and Akonti Jagat Vipari Bharti. You know, everything is going on under my direction. But he's also saying that he's not affected by any of it. It doesn't entangle him to be all this going on under by his direction. He is busy. He doesn't have to leave Goloka. He doesn't have to leave the Rasa dance or whatever pastime he's having. But still, it's all going on. And it's created, annihilated again and again. And all the souls, you know, if we didn't finish up in this lifetime, or in this universe lifetime, we took birth over and over and over again, then everything just gets absorbed in the body of Mahavishnu, and after a long time, we'll come back out and take up again. So we want to finish it up. Prabhupada is telling us, and Krishna is telling us, finish it up, you know. That's why Narada Muni chastised Vasudeva. He described all the different ways you can stay in the material world. How to do all these yajnas, how to get, you know, whatever promotion to the heavenly planets, how to become a king in the next life. In every sophisticated religion, they have that kind of thing. And it just alludes to the fact that there is a higher realm, there is a spiritual world. But it doesn't really talk about it very much in all the Vedas. So Narada said, you know, you didn't focus enough on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and the personality of Godhead. So he came up with the Srimad Bhagavatam. He understood right away. He didn't have to get all the details. The Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Nirmat Saranam Satam Vejamastatam Tapatron Mulam Srimad. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost, and it kicks out all religion that's materially motivated. All this Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Most people are doing a yajna, some kind of Dharma, to get Artha, to get economic development. And then when they get that, they want sense gratification. So the religions, you know, they talk about that. They gave me one Buddhist book in China. Had all these things about if you make a Buddha Murti and you offer incense and you do this way, that way, you can become a princess in your next life, you can become a king, you can, you know, do this, that, that. And then mentioned a little bit that there's some kind of spiritual realm somewhere that's above all that. But didn't really talk about it. Because it's giving people what they want. So in order to chastise, you're giving people what they want. You know, so we're not giving people what they want. You know, we're giving them what they need. that's a much better thing to do. We all need, and we want to give ourselves, you know, we sort out what we want. What do we want? We want Krishna. We can be hankering for devotional service, not hankering for, Prabhupada mentions, big car, big bank balance, you know. And there's so many advertisements now without even religion. Just, you know, all you have to do is do something and focus your mind and you will get everything you want. You'll have, you know, you'll be like Ambani, you'll have 180 cars or something and, you know, a 30-floor house and be very famous. But those things are just burdens, they're just entangling. You know, we want Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. If we have Krishna, what more do you need? And if you don't have Krishna, what's the use of all the other things? They'll just be burdens. If you're attached to all these things at the time of death, you have to take birth again and maybe again and again and again and again. But if we get Krishna, and Prabhupada is giving us Krishna, just like they say on a silver platter, just chant the holy name. So we're asking everybody, take prasadam, chant the holy name. You know, it's not very difficult. Then gradually we find out, well, you know, you have to chant without offense. You have to chant every day and you have to be, you know, give up the sinful activities. But if one starts chanting and he's eating prasadam, then gradually you're not interested in non-prasadam and, you know, things that are not offered to Krishna. I remember in the early days when I was in Los Angeles, at that time, it wasn't vegan and no sugar and all that stuff, you know. And halava was what people really went wild for. And so I saw a few times somebody would ask us for the recipe for the halava after the Sunday feast. So we'd give them. And they come back the next week and say, I made it, but it didn't taste the same. What do you guys do? What do you do to it? And then we tell them how we offer to Krishna. And they think, okay, I'm going to offer to Krishna. One devotee said, if I had known I could have food taste so good, I would have offered it a long time ago. There's a difference. And the same thing when we hear the Maha Mantra from devotees, especially from Prabhupada, but any devotee, they're chanting for Krishna's pleasure. You know, it's different. You know, and when we hear the Bhagavatam, when we hear about the, you know, all these things, they're professional Bhagavatam reciters. They're getting paid a lot, but they're not changing the hearts of the people that hear their 7 days Bhagavad Saptaha and pay a lot of money. Prabhupada was the best Bhagavatam Katha reciter because look at the world now. There's millions of devotees all over the world. I didn't get the exact figure of Bhagavatam sets distributed. How many was it? 60,000, almost 60,000 Bhagavatam sets were distributed around the world. So congratulations, India. I think 80% of them were in India. And now the ICC, they're talking about, you know, developing reading marathons to get people to read the books that they have, you know. But we want to enter into the Bhagavatam, relish it, hear it regularly, and get so that, you know, we don't want to hear anything else. And it's always new and fresh. And the mind will say, well, I need some other books. You know, let's go down to Louis Bazaar. If you pass that, what is it, Bihari Lal? Maharaj, I have 10,000 books. Get in here. Come in. I have all these books. But if we just keep reading the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's purports, it's always a new book. It's even, no matter how many times we've read it, even memorized it, read it again, It's always more new and fresh. It's always Krishna. The same thing, the holy name. Devotees are going out. I was in New York. We go every day, 4 hours, just chanting Hare Krishna on outside. And people would ask, don't you know any other song? I told one guy, yeah, we know many songs, but this is the best one. And he said, okay, because he liked it. You know, but he's wondering. But they can't understand how they just can, you know, the same song. Because it's Krishna, it's unlimited. Within the Maha Mantra, Sarva Mantra Sar, there's all other mantras are contained in one mantra. And all names are contained, you know, Krishna has millions of names, but not even millions, much more. But all the names are within the one name, Krishna. So Rupa Goswami prayed, you know, Tunde Tunda Vali Ratim Vitatune Tunda Vali Labdaye. Said, when I chant, one tongue is not enough to really chant enough. We want more. I thought of that means we want more and more devotees. So we want to have millions of devotees chanting the holy name. My one chanting can satisfy me. Or, you know, we could try to have a million tongues. We hear about people, you know, Robin had 10 heads. But we want more and more devotees, and we want more people to hear the holy name. The more people hear it, the better. So we make places like this, people come. Even though it's far away for many of them, they're coming. What do they get? They hear the holy name. They see the books. They get to see Krishna's form. They get to hear Krishna's pastimes. Very brilliant. All these Vrindavan. Vrindavan without the monkeys. Are you going to get monkeys? Huh? To make it more genuine. And pigs. And rickshaws honking all the time. But Vrindavan is... I saw a quote recently from Kadamukhanda Swami. He said, Mathura is not a place. It's a state of mind. It's not just some place. You know, you take the bus to Vrindavan and then you go to the Duke Govinda's restaurant or something. You know, you have to enter in. You have to have a state of mind. Trinadapi sunichena turarpi sishana amanina manadena kirtaniya sarahari. So we can make Vrindavan anywhere. I know Radhanath Swami, he was in New Vrindavan, and Prabhupada came there many times and talked about having the seven temples and it never manifested. So he always felt bad, so he did it here. You know, it's more feasible. And it's kind of manifesting there, but Prabhupada had his vision. He went everywhere. It's one of the seven purposes of ISKCON, to create places of Krishna's pastimes so people can join in. Because not everybody can even read a book nowadays. You know, you have to have an audio book, and then people don't have time for that. And what really sells on the internet now is like 15-second videos, 30 seconds. If you put up these reels, they maximum is 30 seconds. They get a really big audience. And some people get like hundreds of thousands of views because they just do some stupid thing for a few seconds. It's all that people can concentrate. But not everybody. There are people who can actually read a book and sit down and hear a Bhagavatam class and especially join a kirtan. You know, a kirtan with nice music, people will get caught up in it. And even if they don't get caught up in it, they're just passing by in a big hurry, they hear it. Maybe they think about it, you know. Like now in different places, devotees are going daily, daily, daily. So people are hearing again and again and again. And sometimes after many years, they come and say, what is this all about? You know, because they're so busy, but it's affecting them. So we carry on with this Sankirtan movement. And devotees are doing, I saw the 20 million plates per prasadam since when? 2000 and what year? Not very many years. So that's having a huge effect on the world. What to speak of how many Hare, that's only here, you know, all over the world. And how many books are being distributed all over the world. People are reading them. People are, even if they're not reading them, you know, many people always told us in the West, I never read, I'll never read it. And don't waste a book on me. Give it to someone else, you know. And we say, well, no, even if you don't read it, this has got some powerful vibration. It's going to be good for you. A few people go, oh, okay. You know, especially the hippies, they like that. You know, it's got some vibes and it's got some shakti, you know, you don't have to read it. But it's true. If it's just there, the Bhagavatam is Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. And if they have it, you know, they'll think about it once in a while or someone else. Many devotees found the book in their friend's house. Their friend said, oh, yeah, I got that, but I don't want it. You can have it. And they got right into it, became devotees. Many devotees like that. So devotees go on. We just do this yajna, the Sankirtan yajna. Someone asked me the other day, like, because yajna is translated as sacrifice. And most people think sacrifice is you give up something, you know, or you burn something up, or, you know, you kill an animal, you know, that's in the Bible, sacrifice. But why do we call it the Mahayagya, the Sankirtan, the sacrifice? The yagya means for Vishnu. This is for Krishna. And you're making something spiritual and sacred. Sacred, sacrifice, make it sacred. I don't know, you don't, in cricket, I don't know anything, I could never figure it out, but in America we have baseball. So they, you know, one guy hits and then he runs to try to get to the base before they can catch him. And then there's somebody else already there and he can run. So then they have to figure out. So they have what they call a sacrifice. The hitter will just knock the ball down on the ground, and then they can very easily put him out. But the other guy can get ahead for the team, for the sake of the team. That's not exactly what it means when yajna. Yajna is, you know, you're making something sacred. It's for Vishnu. You're doing it for Vishnu. So we're chanting, and that makes it Prem Sankirtan, because we're chanting for the pleasure of the Lord. And when devotees go out and they chant in public, then even more, because more and more people hear it, and more people get the benefit, and then it increases the Shakti, the potency. So this is the essence of, you know, of Prabhupada's teaching, but Prabhupada's teachings all come right out of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we read it, the more we see that. I remember when I first read, I think I was reading Nectar Devotion. That was the only book we had. And I was thinking, where does Prabhupada get these amazing examples? How can he think of such things? You know, like all these comparisons, these analogies. Then as we got to Bhagavatam, I found all of them. You know, just keep reading. And especially, you know, there was, in the Nectar Devotion, there's so much from the 11th canto. And then, you know, like, oh my God, I want that, you know. But it was a long time before we ever got the 11th canto. And then you'd find everything. Prabhupada, everything came from the Bhagavatam. Everything came parampara. But he somehow expanded it and opened it up, you know, removed the covering, you know, put the magnifying glass so we can actually see Krishna, can actually see. And the Bhagavatam begins talking about the holy name, you know, and no material motivation. That's the only thing. Any religion is fine, but the practitioners, if they're practicing even chanting Hare Krishna with material motivation, then that's foolish. But if they keep chanting You know, some people are chanting with material motivation and they don't get what they want, so they think it doesn't work. Others realize I must be doing something wrong, or they get some ecstasy from chanting, they get some realization, and then they start to chant, you know, for Krishna's pleasure, chant for service, begging, hankering, when will I get service? You know, when can I actually bow down every part of my body, including the mind, and really surrender to myself to Krishna? Atma Nivedana, you know, doing everything for Krishna, giving up everything. No more attachments, no keeping anything, you know, for emergencies. Having full faith in Krishna. This will come by Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means chanting the holy name in association, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you very much for this opportunity to try to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. It's so unlimited, you know, but when we read Prabhupada's purports, you know, hear Prabhupada's lectures, you know, he's always talking about spreading the holy name, but sharing, giving, you know, giving the mercy. A lot of people ask, give me mercy. And I looked up in the Veda base, mercy. And almost everything was about giving mercy. Hardly anything's about, I want mercy. Now the big sickness in America anyway is loneliness. It's a very high concern for doctors, for young people, loneliness. Even though they have millions of friends on 10 different social medias, they're lonely and they're getting more and more lonely. And that loneliness, they don't go out. They just wait for the phone to ring. And they're getting physically ill from it. So I wrote an article once for our Devotee Care magazine on loneliness. And I was remembering all the songs about loneliness that I heard before, you know. And there's so many of them. I'm so sad and lonely. That was the Beatles, you know. Heartbreak Hotel, you know. But then a devotee told me, you should write another one about lonely in the ashram. And I've been thinking about it for years. Recently I looked up, again, loneliness. And there were many songs, newer ones. Even one of this one guy, he was like super, super popular kid, Justin somebody. And his main song was Lonely. It popped up like over and over and over again. But then there was so much studies about loneliness and psychology and how to deal with it. And I looked up lonely in the Veda base, and all the references to lonely was some sadhu went to a lonely place so he could meditate, you know, so he could be alone, not bothered by the society. Then maybe Prabhupada, in a few letters, he said, what is this loneliness? You're always with Krishna. You know, there's no such thing. You can't be alone, you know. But people, because they don't know Krishna, so we have to do our best to try to, and devotees are doing amazing work, you know, with the social media and all that. Fill it up with Krishna. There's so much in Prabhupada quotes and Bhagavad Gita. Many people are just, you know, and doing it in all kinds of very entertaining ways. One Mataji in Japan, they're very really into the chanting, and she's a content creator, so she makes these little animated cartoons of the local devotees. If you know them, you can know for sure who's who, but it's all kirtan. And she got a letter from Facebook that she's one of the most anticipated content makers, but it's everyone is kirtan. Nothing else. Just some funky, you know, advertisement. Very short. Less than 1 minute, you know, kind of stuff. So people are looking, they like it. But we have to entertain them, you know. And that's what we do, give them prasadam, give them the holy name, you know, and pray for them and make temples where they can visit easily, you know, and they can get together and associate with devotees. Prabhupada didn't come to America, like his demoniac son said, just to sell books and make money. He came to revolutionize the whole planet. And I thought about it recently. We hear about Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, sending Prabhupada to America. I realized, I think correctly, that, you know, that was a plan to preach in India, not only America. Prabhupada, he said that Dwarkadish in Los Angeles told him, you know, now you go to India. And he said, no, I've got a nice temple here and everything's just getting started. He said, Dwarkadish told him, I'll get you a better temple in India. And so when Prabhupada took Westerners to India, Americans and Europeans, then people really took notice. Otherwise, in Prabhupada, before he went to America, no, they didn't pay much attention, a few people. You know, a nice sadhu, and few people wanted the books. But when he came with his dancing white elephants, you know, immediately there was all kinds of radio shows and publicity, and, you know, and people woke up. Now the Indians have to go to America and save America. But meanwhile, India is flourishing. Prabhupada, he also saw the need, and he spent more time in Bombay than anywhere else. And he had very good strategy, make a great temple in Bombay especially, in Vrindavan and Mayapur. But Bombay is what, when the Juhu temple opened, the Indian people all over the world accepted we were for real, that the ISKCON was for real, because everybody has family or business in Bombay, Indians all over the world. So they knew about that, and then they would support ISKCON in other countries. And then he came to Mayapur and Vrindavan, where people can go for pilgrimage, and now people, everybody goes, you know, from all over. So we are fortunate to be part of it. It's inconceivable when we look at our disciplic succession, you know, how we can be in such a line coming from such, but that's just, Prabhupada also, you're getting all the Westerners, you know, and having them come back chanting and dancing and following Brahminical principles proved the Bhagavatam, which the Hindus didn't accept. You know, they had the Seminole Varnashram, you know, that Bhakti Vinod came up with the idea Daivi Varnashram, but that's the real Varnashram. The Sahajiyas have this, you know, you're stuck wherever you're born, what kind of family you're born in. And actually the British made that more strong in India, because in England they were very strong on that. You're a working class. You know, the parents would tell the kid, you're working class, you can't, don't expect to do anything else. Get a job and I'll get you a job in the factory. You know, but then many were forced to do like that. So they pushed that very much. They had a very strict system. You know, if you were fully British, you could have the top job in the railroad. If your father was British and your mother was Indian, you could have the next level. And if your mother was Indian and your father was British, no, if your mother was British but your father was Indian, a little bit down. And if you were full-on Indian, then, you know, you were the Tiwala or something. You know. But they were very strict on that. But Prabhupada cracked, and Bhaktisiddhanta, Lord Chaitanya, you know, people talk about Vedic culture. We were in Ujjain years ago, and temple was very new there. And one Mataji was there, now she's the head of the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Learning. I forget everybody's name now. But she was there, and she speaks Hindi. So Bhakti Charo made a big advertisement that we have a French Mataji speaking Hindi at our Sunday program. Please come. You know, this is something really special. And I said, you know, that it's not Vedic, right? He said, Lord Chaitanya came to turn the Vedic culture upside down. You know, this so-called Vedic culture that nobody really knows. They only know Hindu culture from a few hundred years. Who knows what it was like 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 years ago? You know, right? It certainly wasn't bodily conscious, because we have many examples in our history. But so we are international society, people coming from everywhere, becoming brahmanas, becoming, you know, pujaris, becoming kirtan, famous kirtaniers, you know, and changing the world very quickly, actually. But Maya is, you know, Kali is very worried. We know that from scripture. He was very worried, even knowing that Lord Chaitanya was coming in the future. And how are we going to function in this, with the Sankirtan movement happening? Now it's really happening, so he's pushing. So we see gambling everywhere, whiskey everywhere, pornography everywhere, spreading like anything. But at the same time, the Sankirtan movement is spreading it, and it's more powerful. So we just keep on pushing. Gradually, the whole atmosphere of the planet is more and more uplifted, and we'll get good governments, and things will change in more and more ways. Already so much has changed, but, you know, when Prabhupada came to America, vegetarian was revolutionary. It's considered very dangerous, like suicidal. They would tell stories about someone following some, of course there were some really fanatic vegetarian things, and someone would die, and they'd say, just see, you know, you've got to eat meat, you can't live without it. But Prabhupada gave the really delicious vegetarian, healthy, and people saw the devotees chanting 8 hours a day in the streets, and they knew they were vegetarian. They knew they didn't do illicit things, and then they started to realize, yeah. And then they would get the Sunday feast, and Sunday feast were 15 preparations in those days, and everything was cooked in ghee. People would become madly addicted to just waiting for the next Sunday, taking home as much as they could carry and waiting for the next Sunday. And the kirtans. So Prabhupada knew what he was doing and Lord Chaitanya's movement. Now we have all this happening. So thank you for being here and taking care of devotees and having all this literature. I was here last year for Janmashtami. This year was much bigger, right? Last year they were expecting 10,000. They got like 13 or 14,000. This year they were expecting, what, 25,000 or something? It's all over the world like that. So, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions are welcome. I heard Sankarshan Prabhu the other day in Vrindavan. He said, I like questions. But I like questions also, but I'm used to the Chinese, they give so many questions. Never ending. Difficult. Sometimes very difficult. But. So any comment? What are your comments and questions? Yes, sir. There's no bad questions. Prabhupada, in the early days, he asked for questions. After a while, he didn't.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. I was just thinking that this loneliness you were mentioning, both affecting the society outside and even, like you mentioned, loneliness in the ashram. So, is it that the practice of devotional service itself automatically counters all the problems like loneliness, or is it like I need to seek like-minded association among devotees so that I can make efforts on those issues so that the loneliness could be countered? So how does it work? That is the question.
It's a good question. That, you know, like, because of our conditioning, I know myself, as I grew up, you know, I'd have a friend and be really close. And all of a sudden, I don't know, they would do something I didn't like, or I guess I'd do something, and I never want to see them again. And after a while, I just thought, I don't want to have any friends. I remember telling some associates, no, I don't want any friends. Always means trouble, you know. So we get afraid. And intimacy, and getting close, opening up. So we're supposed to reveal our mind in confidence. And generally we think that means we have to empty our garbage on somebody. And that doesn't usually help to make friendship. But they have all this stuff on the internet now. You know, you can just make money so easy. I heard some of it's true. Just by watching YouTube movies, they'll pay you for every movie you watch. But there's one that's called emphatic listening. You just, people call up and they just cry and tell you, and you just listen to them, and they pay for that. Then I saw one true story, a guy in Japan. He never liked to do anything. And then he thought of, and he started a business of doing that. I'll be your friend for, you know, a half hour, an hour, and people pay him like $100 an hour or something. And he just listens to them talk and how they feel unhappy, and they feel good afterward. You know. So mostly we don't want to be on the receiving side of that because you get entangled. But revealing the mind in confidence can also mean we can tell about how much I really love the Bhagavatam, or this verse I just learned, or, you know, how the prasadam was so good today, or how the kirtan was so wonderful, or the deity's dress is so nice. I remember one of my godbrothers, every day he would come and describe me in detail how the deity was dressed. And I would be like, how can he do this? You know, I would be like, oh, you know, but I never could go, but he would get everything. So, and when I first was in the temple, I would get really disturbed by it, especially the temple president. He was so heavy, you stupid, you're wasting your life, you got to give up everything right now, you know. And there was one other brahmachari, and he would just come up behind and say, Krishna was in the forest with his friends, and he'd start just quoting Krishna book, you know. And that would just save me from all my fault-finding. He was my Vartma production guru. He was the first devotee I saw before, but he's the first one I actually watched doing Harinam. He was all by himself, just chanting and dancing like really intensely. And that convinced me that, because I didn't know exactly what I was looking for. But when I saw that, I said, this is it, you know. His name was Narada Muni. He recently left his body, and everybody was talking about how he was always so happy and he was always so blissful. But he was like that, you know. And he got very cancer and sick, but he and his wife were going out distributing books until he couldn't do it anymore. But so the loneliness, we all feel it, you know. They say lonely at the top, also like the president of a company or the boss or the general, you know, he's all alone. Ultimately, it's very hard to have friends when everybody is afraid of you, you know. But what Prabhupada, what I found, you know, when someone asked Prabhupada was, you know, we have to know we're connected to Krishna. You know, we have Krishna in the heart. You can't get away from Krishna, you know, but we can forget. Krishna is always there for us, but we can forget Krishna. But by sadhu sangha, it should be, and we get together. You know, but that's why we need reading groups, and we need, you know, kirtan groups and preaching teams and learn to see Krishna in everyone's heart, you know. So I guess I should try to write that, because that devotee was very prominent in London. And then he was to be on the internet all the time, and he left his manager, and then he became like a counselor or some kind of, you know, he studied. And he used to be on it, Facebook all the time. I haven't seen him for years. I was going to try to find out what happened to him, you know. But it can happen, you know. So even in marriage, people are lonely. They live together because they don't make friends, you know. So the Christians in America, they analyze everything, you know, and statistics. So they'll say that people will join a religious group for so many different reasons. You know, just for social life, for maybe they like some girl they saw at the church, you know, and all kinds of reasons. You know, they just get a free meal or whatever. But they stay because they make friends. So we see that also. People join for many reasons. But if they don't make friends with each other, we don't make friends with devotees, then we, you know, we have trouble thinking, I don't fit in here. But Prabhupada, you know, saw everyone as his friend. He's on the topmost transcendental platform. So we try to be friendly to everybody, and people will be friendly to us. So it's an interesting topic, but loneliness. It's always been there, but, you know, it used to be kind of a joke, the songs, I'm lonely, you know. I'm so sad and lonely, baby, won't you dance with me? You know, that the Beatles, it was happiness, you know. But now they're crying like anything, and, you know, and nobody loves me, and people are committing, you know. In America, if a teenager is a certain age, the biggest cause of death is suicide. For white people, and for black people, it's murder. Same symptom, though. You know, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're not getting what they want from their association. And then, you know, this social media is promising so much wonderfulness and so many false things are there that, so people, you know, they're expecting their relationships to be like the things as described. And they're, you know, people are expecting their sex life to be like the pornography, you know, but it's not. It doesn't last. Some devotees who are very, very big preachers in Kazakhstan, they're a very tight group, and they do what I guess you'd call bridge preaching a lot. They have courses like how to be a good parent, and then they teach like Bhagavad Gita principles. And then when people start to question more, they give them Bhagavad Gita. And then she asked me the last thing. She said, a lot of married people, they can't take it. They want to get divorced. They asked sannyasis about, you know. But because they didn't make friends, you know. They're married, but they got married for lust. In India, they have the two kinds of marriage, right? Love marriage, lust marriage, and arranged marriage. And I saw a thing about one private detective. He specializes in catching wayward husbands, you know. But he said most of the business is from love marriages. The arranged marriages are more stable. You know, people didn't even know each other. And then they have to learn to know each other, and they have to get along, you know, and the family's helping them. But when it's, so whatever we do, if people join the movement just for, you know, material, because they're poor, or because, you know, or they want whatever and they don't get it, they might not stay. But, so let's try to help others, you know. We all have to be able to help everyone else and to be counselors. Counselors mean mostly they just listen. psychiatrists mostly just listen to people, and then they say, thank you for, you know, come back next week. And people become happy by that to some extent. So we have to be good listeners, not just throwing slokas out. So please, everybody, help me pray for, and pray for everybody, you know, prayer. Now, if you don't mind, you can pray for the devotees in Israel. There's a lot of confusion there. But for a week or so, nobody was going out. All the shops were closed because missiles were just... Those missiles that the Hamas had, they're not guided missiles. They just, they're not sure where they're going to go, you know. One hit right on our Sankirtan spot, Harinam spot on the beach. And then people started going out. So one Mataji, she's a very... Normally she does book distribution every day. And she said she was sitting at home in so much anxiety. So she just thought, let me go and distribute books. And then she said she had no anxiety. And people were saying, yeah, I love these books. These are great books. This is the real religion. Stuff they hadn't heard before. But so she became very happy. But still, they need, you know, because they realized it's dangerous staying home also. It's dangerous out. One devotee was in his car, and the announcement was coming, get out of your car, everybody get out of the car, and get in the building. So there were two buildings. He ran in one building. The missile hit the other building. And the ground shook so much that the rearview mirror inside his car fell down, you know, from the bouncing. And the building started on fire, but evidently nobody got killed. But, you know, that's the material world. You know, when you say this, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, there's danger at every step. There's danger at every step for everybody. You know, anything can happen any minute. I remember when I was a child, we hear so many times somebody slipped in the bathroom and they died. You know, they just slipped on a soap on the floor or something, and you know, they didn't expect that to be dangerous, taking a bath, you know. But anything can be dangerous. People choke in the restaurant, die from that, you know. So or they win the lottery and get so excited they have a heart attack. You know, anything can happen. But the only shelter is Krishna. Harinama, 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 Eva Kabalam, Kaloana, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gati Aranyata. Kali is causing all the trouble, whether it's mental trouble or external trouble or addictions or whatever. It's all Kali's work. And the loneliness also, you know, because he's telling people, you should have all this, you should be so beautiful, like all the pictures of the models. And you should be so strong, like Ritik, what's his name? You know, you should be like him. And so people are frustrated. They can never be like that. But the only way to push back Kali is Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kaloa Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Gatir Anyata. Just the holy name will push back Kali, keep him out. He can't live with it. You know, devotees are following the regular principles and chanting the holy name. But he's always ready. If we relax and space out, he's right there. If you're facing Krishna Maya, he'll stay behind you. But as soon as you turn your back on Krishna, hi, and welcome back. And I have something for you, and you can be happy. You can enjoy everything. The world is waiting, you know. You've been foolishly avoiding all this happiness. All right? So thank you very much. Radha Vrindavan Chandra Ki Jai. Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. So nice to see Radha Madan Mohan also. I've never seen the original. I've seen the temple many times. But actually, this temple... the second temple. If you go there in Vrindavan, the small temple was Madan Mohan's. But somehow they don't take care of a place. They made it a heritage place, but it's a mess, you know. So Radhanath Swami wanted to take care of it nicely. In Karoli they take, of course, very good. Even Radha Govinda, a group from Vrindavan once went to Jaipur thinking they should get Radha Govinda back to Vrindavan. But they saw the ecstasy of Jaipur and said, it's a good place. So we can do the same thing here. And, you know, got everything. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Govardhan Eco Village Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.